Thank you for joining us here at Celebration Church, where we celebrate God, celebrate people, and celebrate life. We hope you enjoy today's message.
If you're near a mum right now, say Happy Mother's Day, or Future Mother's Day, if you think. It's good. We appreciate the mums. We appreciate you so much. My wife was up all night with a sick child, so she is a hero. She's at home right now with our two boys. That's what mums do. You do that so amazingly. We honour you. We thank you. The spiritual mums, we honour you as well. Thank you for fighting for the future generations and for being great examples. And if today is a tougher day for you, maybe your mum isn't with you anymore, or maybe you never knew your mum, just know that we're with you as a church family. We're thinking of you today, and we celebrate you. We celebrate who God is. So it can be a bit of a tough day for some, but God is with us, and God is good. Who loves Jesus? Thanks, Natty. Well, this morning, you made it out in the rain. You're the ones that roughed it. You're here. If you're online, if you're in your cozy couches, welcome as well, or podcasters. But you guys made it into the room. And I don't know if your socks are wet. Has anyone got wet socks right now? Yeah? You've got to get your boots on today. The rain should clear up tomorrow, hopefully. Slowly, but I enjoy the rain. I love the wet weather. Anyone here who finds their sleep gets better with rain? I wonder why. I wonder why that is. Just my internal thoughts out loud right now. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to do something very special and very unique in this service. And so I just encourage you just to open your hearts, open your minds, and ask the Holy Spirit just to help you see who He is this morning and to hear what He wants you to hear. My prayer is that you will not look to me, that you won't look to my voice, that you will look to Him. You would hear His voice. One touch from the Father in season, or one word from the Father in season, will bring a personal revival to people's hearts. How are we going with our personal revivals this year? How are we going with our personal pursuit of God this year? How are you going with that? How's your heart going with that? Is it a distant thought or priority? Or is it something that you are ferociously pursuing for your 2024? In my heart, I am pursuing a personal revival. It is my number one motivation this year, and focus is that I might encounter God in a way that I have never encountered Him before. Is anyone else on that journey? I know it's rainy and wet, but yeah, is anyone else on a journey with that? I encourage you with all I am, pursue the heart of God. Do not make the pursuit of His presence an afterthought. Don't make it, I am so busy, and then if I have time to read my word, at the end of the day, I might read it. Make His pursuit your number one, or number one. Why? Because He wants to draw near to you. He wants to know your heart. He wants to consume you with His presence. Don't let social media consume you with its presence. Don't let Netflix consume you with its presence. Don't even let your surroundings consume you the way that God wants to consume you. That's good preaching, and that's a good encouragement. This year, there is a portion and there is an invitation from the throne room of God, which says, who in Celebration Church will pursue me with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their soul, and all of their strength? Because when you pursue Him, the Bible promises that He will draw near to you. That's good news, amen. How great is it we serve a God that wants to draw near? He doesn't want to run from us. He doesn't want to hide to make our lives harder. He wants to consume you. He wants to pursue you. His songs over you are songs of rejoicing. Zephaniah tells us that. Songs of joy. He sings over you. This morning, do you know that God is singing a song of joy over your family, over your heart, over your existence? Can I hear an amen? All right. This morning, I'm preaching to my sons. I always preach to my two sons in particular. I feel like I have spiritual sons. I preach to you too. But this morning, I'm preaching to Bear and to Hugo. So you get to have an insight into what I'm going to say to them, both now and the future. Feel free to be blessed by what I'm going to share in Jesus' name. And just for your education, everything I do now, I have the next generation, aka my two boys, in my heart, in my mind. When I speak to people, I speak, how would I speak to my boys? How would I preach to my boys? How would I encourage my boys? It's been such a healthy filter as a dad to see through the filter of the next generation. And there is definitely a call of God on this church to raise up spiritual fathers and mothers who think like that, that we're thinking about raising up spiritual children. This morning, I want to speak to you for a couple of minutes. And today's message is called In His Hands. Why don't you hold your hands up, put them together. Is one of your hands bigger than the other? Can you tell? In His Hands. My wife loves and always has the look of my hands. How weird is that? Before we were married, she would notice my hands. She is not here to confirm this, but if you saw her and you asked her this, and if she is online right now, hey, she would agree, she loves the Halliday hands. When my son Bear was born, we noticed he had Halliday hands. My next born, Hugo, he is wearing size 6 month sizing clothing. When Bear was 6 months, Hugo's wearing that at 3 months. So he's just this little butterball, aka McNugget. This is what we call him. He's a little nugget, a little unit. And guess what? He has the Halliday hands. Yes. I am proud that my boys don't have dainty hands. They have Halliday hands. No offense to any dainty-handed men in the house. If that is you, feel free to put your hands in your pockets or show them off. I don't really mind. The thing is about God is that we serve a loving Father who actually holds us in His hands. When we place ourselves into His hands, He uses us to achieve incredible things. And when we humbly surrender ourselves to Him, He molds us according to His purposes. You see, you can walk through life trying to live your life according to your own opinion, your own wisdom, your own abilities, but there is a better way to live, and that way is living in His hands. Surrendering our hearts to be in His hands. Last week, I spoke a message called Raising a Healthy Prophetic Culture. I've had some great feedback from that. If you missed that, listen to it. If you're prophetic in particular, listen to it. How do we raise a healthy prophetic culture inside of our church? How do we hear the voice of God? How do we walk in His hands, be used by Him in His hands, but do it in a way that's healthy and powerful in Jesus' name? I have here a basketball. This basketball is a $10 basketball from Kmart. You can go to Kmart today, you can buy this for $10. In my hands, it's worth $10. I play basketball. I wasn't very good. I was okay. I would get 1 in 20 shots in. But that one shot that went in, man, I celebrated. My team was the Shoalhaven Shoalhaven Tigers. Is that the team? Anyone know? He plays basketball. Jocko? Is that what it's called? Yeah? No? Oh, I love the feedback today. This is fantastic. You know that this basketball, though, a basketball is $10 from Kmart. I'm going to show you a picture, if it's going to work, of a guy called LeBron James. Who said LeBron James? Yeah, LeBron James just signed the contract with the LA Lakers for $99 million for 2 years, US. So in my hands, $10. In LeBron James's hands, $100 million. It is not the vessel, it is the hands the vessel are in that make it valuable. A $10 basketball in my hand, in LeBron's hands, $100 million. Spalding, the brand of basketball, they play with that in the NBA. It is not the vessel, it is the hands that the vessel is in. This is a golf club, a Callaway 7-iron. Any golfers in the house? Any wannabe golfers in the house? I play golf from time to time. I played golf in high school because it was a goal that I liked. And we would get into groups of four to play golf, and I just wanted to be in her group. And by the end of the term, she liked me, so it worked. So the thing is, I'm just going to try and... Here we go, ready? Yeah, okay. Who's the photography person? How'd that go? Hole in one. Yeah, where's Ty? if you missed last week, you missed it. Okay, so this is a Callaway. I have a pair of golf clubs that I invested in. I brought them years ago, and I thought, I want to pass this on to one of my children. Now I have two children that can have half each, I don't know. Callaway is a good brand. I found this same club on eBay for $50, or best offer. I thought it was a good brand. I thought it was a good club. $50 or nearest offer. So in my hands, it's a $50 club. There's a guy called John. Let me look at his last name. John Rahm. John Rahm plays golf. He signed a contract recently. Get ready. $300 million. US. To use a golf club that in my hand is worth $50 on nearest offer. If he was to pick it up, it's worth $300 million. The vessel isn't as important as whose hand it is in. And you might feel like you are a $10 basketball from Kmart or a $50 7-iron, but in God's hands, when you surrender into his hands, you become someone of extreme value. Why is it important we bring our friends to church? To hear messages like this. Because we measure ourselves off comparison with each other, off social media, off the TV, off everything else, but we have to measure ourselves according to whose hands we're in. Let's not forget that we are actually dust with God's breath in us. Dust by default isn't very expensive. But in his hands, with his breath, we become amazingly valuable to the point where Christ died for us. This morning I want to encourage us around the thought that it isn't the value of the vessel, it's the value of whose hands the vessel is in. And when we come before God, when we come before him in surrender, when we come before him in closeness, what happens is we become extremely valuable for his kingdom. And the enemy will do whatever he can to demote, to rip off confidence. But we have to remind him of whose hands we are in.
Yeah.
It's really all that matters. Who is your father? Who is the one who gives you your identity? It is his lineage that matters. It is his anointing and his words that make a difference. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. I love this verse. It's such an amazing verse. It says, "But God shows the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God shows the weak things of the world to shame the strong." God, use me to bring revival. But God also realized that I can't do anything on my own. I need you. God, I feel like I am foolish. I feel like I am weak. Awesome. God can now use you in a powerful way. Who knows that in the hands of the boy, the loaves and the fish were just loaves and fish. But in the hands of Jesus, they became something that impacted tens of thousands, if you include husbands and our wives and children. Who knows that David, when he took Goliath down, he just had some smooth stones. Anybody else, it would just be some gravel. My son right now is in this phase, he's four. He's in a phase where he'll literally collect rocks. Anyone else's sons or daughters go through this phase? Yeah, a few dads, hands up. He loves collecting rocks. Next to both sides of our bed now are Tupperware containers full of rocks. And he's got such a sweet heart with it because he finds a rock and he says this, "My daddy is going to love this rock." And the other day he came home and he brought a rock home and it was a piece of brick. He was so pumped. He was so excited. To the point where at preschool, I've got to pat him down now because he fills his pockets from their garden rocks. They're really smooth and really nice. If you ask the teacher, and then he asks them, "Okay, only if you bring it back tomorrow, there, you can take it home." And he'll take it home really excited because he wants to show Daddy this latest rock. I don't know. It must be a phase. If you're doing that at the age of 20, I don't know what I'm going to do. King David, or back then when he was a boy, David, he had these stones, and they were just stones. But in David's hands, they were weapons. Moses had a staff. He had a staff, and it just everyone else, it looked like a staff. It looked like something you could walk with, and you can, you know, hit people with, you know, whatever. But when God told him to do things with it, God says, "Lay it down on the ground and it turned into a snake." God said, "Hold it up above your head," and the battle was won. God said, you know, "Use it to part the Red Sea, part the ocean." But one person's sticky is in God's hand became a mighty weapon and that mighty tool. I wonder how God wants to use you. The enemy might say you're only this and you're only that. You're only a stone. You're only a stick. You're only a loaf. You're only a bit of fish. In God's hands, who knows what you are? And this is why closeness is so important. The personal revival, the encountering God, the pursuing of his presence is so pivotal and so important, because if you don't do that, you'll never discover the value of what you carry. What happens if God wants to use you to break generational type things? What happens if God wants to use you to establish new works and new breakthrough and new ministry and new revelation and bring new songs into the world and bring new creativity? And who knows what God has placed in you and I? Well, he does. I might have a bit of an inkling. Maybe I get a prophetic type encouragement, but ultimately, he knows. So Holy Spirit, open our eyes to what you have us see and open our ears to your voice. Let our church community be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that they realize they're not just a $50 golf club. No, no, they're a valuable piece of machinery and tool and vessel that God can use. Be encouraged that God uses and chooses the foolish things, the weak things. It is not the vessel that makes something valuable, but the hand the vessel is in. And remember, this year we're going on a journey of being humble students, learning to host his presence. We must learn to surrender completely to him, placing our lives into his hands. I'm on this journey right now, guys, and I pray you're on the same journey. Lord, teach me your ways that I might walk with you. Lord, come, and if there's any pride in me, I just need you to teach me how to host your presence. Teach me how to be a good husband. Teach me how to be a good dad. Teach me how to be a good leader or a good pastor. Teach me your ways that I might host your presence well. Less of me, God, and more of you. And I humbly come before you and I say, I rely on your presence and your leading, Holy Spirit. Anyone else on that journey? God, search my heart. Show me the areas that are good. Show me the areas that aren't good and heal me of those areas. This morning, I want to encourage you that there is safety in his hands. Let's look at a couple of scriptures together. Psalm 63 verse 8, it'll be up on the screen. Psalm 63 verse 8 says, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. Who here is right-handed? Who here is left-handed? The lefties are the ones like this. Hey, we love the left-handed people. Someone needs to, so we love you. Why am I picking on left-handed people for? I don't know. No, I'm joking. We love all people. We know that God's right-handed, though, because Jesus is the right hand of the Father. So we can. Isaiah 41:10, let's just move on very quickly. Very quickly. It says in Isaiah 41:10. You can tell I've come off a sleepless night of kids being sick in the house. What's that noise? Little violin in the background I can hear? Yeah. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll hold you up with my victorious, what does it say? I'm sorry, Nat. I know you're left-handed. With my victorious right hand. Maybe Darrell could tell us about left and right hands one day. I don't know. Someone smarter than me can explain why it talks about right over left. I'm sure there's a reason. The key to rest and effectiveness. All right. The key to rest, who wants to be more rested? Yeah. And effectiveness is this. It's to act while still in his hands. You've got to move when he moves. You've got to be in tune with him. It's not the value of the vessel that's important. It's the hand the vessel is in. Therefore, we have to understand that in our hands, we are restricted. But in his hands, we are lifted. And in our hands, things become heavy. But in his hands, things are light. And in our hands, we grow weary. But in his hands, we are carried. So we have a choice. Do we surrender ourselves in complete humility and say, Lord, carry me? And this is so important, especially if you're going through crisis. If you need God to help, surrender yourself into his hands. All right, Jeremiah chapter 16, chapter 18, if you have it, your scripture, let's look there together. Now, at school, There was a class, and maybe you did this class. Who did the, is it ceramics? Pottery? Who done that? Who done pottery at school? Who enjoyed the pottery class at school? I wasn't so good at the pottery class. Most kids aren't. Most kids bring home their pottery thing and it's, oh, that's amazing. It's a great cup. And then you try and use it and the handle falls off or something. That was what I used to make. But the thing is, let's look at this. This is the, this is really awesome. The example of the potter and the clay. This is the word, oh, sorry, verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed, or as seemed best to him. But the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are mine, O house of Israel. We'll go over to Isaiah 64, verse 8. It says this, Isaiah 64, 8. It says, yet you, Lord, are our father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. In his hands. I love the fact that God gives us this example of the potter and the clay. You and I are obviously the clay. The thing is about clay is that clay has to be soft in order for it to be molded. And sometimes, and we just read it there, the master potter will go, actually, that's not the exact shape that I'm after, and he'll have to reform the clay. And that's never really, if you remember at school, maybe you do this as an adult, I don't know. Maybe you should do a connect group around pottery, I don't know, maybe, who knows. But if you remember, if you get that clay and you want to reform it, they get it and they with force, they'll bang it onto the table. They'll try and get it to get back into its kind of basic shape so they can reform it again. When it comes to God's kingdom and who God wants us to be and what he has for our lives and the vessels he's creating us to be, he wants us to understand that there are different phases and phases that he takes us to or takes us through in order for us to become who he's called us to be. Let's look at some lessons we can learn from the potter and the clay this morning. He is the master potter and we are the clay. Our hearts must be soft so he can shape us into what he desires. Number one, we must allow the potter to dismantle us in order to be remade according to his purposes. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. You see, the Lord wants to mold us into vessels that he can use for his honor. But we have to allow him to dismantle our mindsets, our existing belief systems sometimes, our disappointments and our anxieties, to give him every part of us in order for him to reshape us according to his great pleasure and purpose. And I find that often what happens in life is that we give God part of ourselves. We give him our arm, part of our heart, our bottom half of our body, whatever, but we don't give him everything. Why? Because giving your heart completely to God is so vulnerable. And it takes a lot of trust to say, Lord, I surrender everything to you, and not just in word or in song, but in heart. Lord, my deepest, darkest hurts, I give to you. The things I don't understand, I give to you. I surrender it to you. And he says, great, I can take that now and I can remold it according to my purposes. The second thought is this. We must allow the potter to take our brokenness and reform it into beauty. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God is saying we are his handiwork. He's wanting to use us. He's wanting to infuse his life and fill us with his presence but we have to deal with any areas in our life that are broken so that we don't become ineffective. God will take your brokenness. He's not scared of brokenness. He's not intimidated by your mess. Our Father is not ashamed of your mess. He says, come to me, all who are heavy burden, and I'll give you rest. Let me take your burden. Let me take the things of you. Let me exchange it for me. And by doing so, we become people who he then reforms as a potter reforms clay and takes our broken bits and reforms it into beauty. And every single one of us has broken bits. Some are just more broken than others, and some just show their brokenness more openly than others. So the question is this: are we being genuine in drawing close to God when it comes to our brokenness? His hands are safe. His hands carry us. He takes us and he lifts us out of the mire, but we have to give ourselves completely to him. Don't hold on to your brokenness. It's like if something smashes at home, especially if you have young children, if you drop a glass and it smashes on the ground, you're not there trying to pick up all the broken pieces of glass with your hands, especially the tiny bits. You will cut your hands. Often with our brokenness, we're trying to hold on to all the little bits of brokenness. We're trying to justify, well, that hurt happened and I need to, and we think that by holding on to brokenness, we are punishing the person who hurt us. We think that by holding on to brokenness, that we are going to, I've earned this. I've gone through this. And God says, release it. Because all you're doing is punishing yourself. Third thing is this. Often we feel like we are spinning in circles, but in his hands, we are spinning with a purpose. You know, the potter has that wheel and the thing's spinning and it's like, yeah, well, we need to allow our hearts to understand something. You might feel like you're spinning. You might feel like you have no momentum. You might be in a season where you're not walking forward and you're feeling like I'm not getting any wins. But if you're in his hands, it's okay. Yeah. Because to the clay, the spinning doesn't make any sense. But to the master, it makes perfect sense. All things work for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. And maybe you're in this place, maybe you're listening to this message and you're thinking, I feel like I've been spinning. I feel like I'm not moving. I feel like I'm seeing the same things over and over again. The question to ask yourself is this: am I in his hands? Yes. Listen, if you're in your own hands and you're spinning, that's different. If you're trusting yourself when you're spinning, that's different. But if you're completely surrendered to him, then the spinning has purpose. Is this okay? We must allow God to heal any cracks in our hearts. Number four, heal any cracks in our hearts in order to be effective carriers of his glory. Psalm 147:3 says he binds up the brokenhearted. God can make you into a great vase or a great vessel that carries his glory. But if you still have cracks, over time, you're just going to leak out, and not in a good way. And again, I speak this with such conviction because this is my journey. My wife will tell you this. My prayer life at the moment is literally, God, search my heart. Are there any hidden things in me that need a touch from you? Where are the hidden pride? Where is the hidden hurt? Where is the hidden anxiousness? Where is the insecurity? What are the things in me, Lord, that I am aware of that I need to get right and the things I need you to show me that I might be whole before you? I'm on a journey of wholeness. Let my journey inspire you for you. I am so far from perfect. I've got so far to go, but I've never felt so secure in myself. Why? Because I am real. Well, I say that and think, God, I could be probably realer. As the psalmist said, search my heart, O God. I just want to walk closely with God. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to do the Christian thing of a little bit of God in my life. I genuinely want to be consumed by his presence. I genuinely want to be changed. I want to know him better than anything else. I want to be overwhelmed by him. I want all my fears and worries and concerns to be so dissolved away by his love and his presence. And through that, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better dad. I want to be a better friend, a better pastor, a better human. And so I say, listen to that humility for your life. Especially the guys here. Like, don't try and put up this facade. Social media is full of rubbish. Guys and girls, don't compare yourself to people. Everyone's overrated when it comes to this stuff. Don't compare your lowlights with people's highlights. It's not real. Walk with God with a heart of humility. Walk with God with a heart of desperation. Walk with him with a heart of, I want to know you, Jesus. I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear your voice. I want to be secure in who I am in your kingdom. I want to know you better than anything else. I want to be the best me I can be, which is someone who is so in love with you, Jesus. Make that your passion. In the midst of the noise, in the midst of the frustrations, in the midst of the challenges that come along, put on some of that worship. I've been loving at the moment, a bit of old school, a bit of Came to My Rescue by Hillsong United, a bit of None But Jesus by, again, Hillsong United. These old classic songs which I grew up on, especially my youth days or youth pastor days. And I love, I get to get my son, my four-year-old, every time we go to bed now, we play one worship song before we go to bed. We just listen to it together. What is more holy than raising my boy in the way of God? But if I'm not real as a man of God myself, then what good am I? So every week we come here and we're like, come on, church, personal revival, go after God, please, come on, come on. You have to take that responsibility on yourself. But I tell you what will happen. Our church will see a move of God like our nation has never seen if the people of God get on fire for God. And not just a little bit of fire. I mean, like, scary fire. And by the way, that's what I'm praying for. I'm like, God, take me to places I've never been to. You have permission to completely mess me up in the best possible way. I surrender my life to you. And I'm not there, hey. I haven't arrived. But I don't know if you ever will. The thing is about God, it's like he fills you up and then he goes, I want you to pray for more. Yeah. It's like the one area, like it's one of the few things in life where it's like the more you get filled up, the more you want. But it's a good thing. It's just like God's like, just keep going, like draw near, but then draw nearer. Let me fill up you, the vessel, but ask for more. The other thing about pottery, if you remember, is that there is the kiln process. K-I-L-M. I don't know if that's how you spell it. It makes sense. No? Huh? What? Oh, all the pottery people in the house. Nah. Thank you. Thank you for your help then. K-I-L-M-E. Chloe looks very upset right now at the front. K-I-L-M-N. N. N for Nat. Kiln. My mind just got blown. My whole life I thought it was Kilmer. Like Val Kilmer. I have walked away changed this morning. Thank you. This is what church family does. This is what we do. We help each other. That's why the teacher always looked weird at me when I said, is a kiln ready, miss? Okay, kiln. I think my word's better, by the way, but I just humility. Because you make the pottery, and I remember I made this dinosaur in like year, could have been high school, I don't know, it was sometime. And I was so proud of it, but it always looks a bit different when it goes into that fire. You think it's going to come out a certain colour or a certain glaze or whatever. Look at these terminologies, like glaze, do you remember that? And it comes out, and my dinosaurs always look so terrible. They looked left-handed, really. I'm talking to Nat, okay? I'm allowed to tease Nat. Okay, if you're left-handed here, I love you. No, I don't have anything against left-handers. I actually genuinely don't. Where's Charlie? She only balances me out. Anyway, I'll get the dinosaur out of the kiln. And it always just didn't look very good. My parents would always, or my mum would always be like, wow, that's amazing. My dad would remain silent. The fire process isn't there to kill you. It's there to solidify what God's doing in you. 1 Peter 1:7. It says, these came so that the proving genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We go through fire seasons. Fire does not sound fun, and it's not fun. Fire often represents trials. But if you don't go through the fire process with pottery, you just stay soft clay. And this is the difference, I think, between mature Christians and non-mature Christians. Those who go through the fire and don't give up, who go through the fire and keep a sweet spirit, keep a heart of thankfulness, and don't become victims. Actually, God uses them, and there is a different song in their voice or in their heart. But we live in a generation where it's easy to give up. It's easy to walk away. It's easy and even expected. But in the kingdom, we have to understand that God is with us in the fire. last thing we can learn from the potter and the clay is that in his hands, we are ultimately molded into the image of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about, it says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is in spirit. We are being transformed into his image. Oh, what a powerful thing to be transformed into the image of Christ. And ultimately, when we come before him in surrender, and as we finish today, this is the prayer. We come before him with surrender. We come before him with humble hearts. We come before him and we lay down our lives at his feet again, and we take up our cross. And we say, Lord, we want to draw closer to you. We want to be so close to you that you are the loudest voice in our lives. You are the loudest influence in our lives. And the Lord says, I will draw close to you, and the way to draw close to you is through surrender. And we lift our hands to heaven and we say, Lord, we surrender all to you. My good, my bad, my future, my present, my past. Take it all, Lord. My hopes and my dreams, my disappointments and my discouragements. I give it all to you. And his hands are the only hands that can take all of that, and he will not drop you. They are the only hands that are trustworthy and big enough that when you give yourself to him, you're going to be okay. And you're going to be better. So whether it's in your personal walk right now, whether it's in a situation, whether it's in your marriage or with your children, whether it's in your workplace, whatever it looks like, come before him and say, I lay everything into your hands. Because you alone are worthy and you alone are trustworthy and you alone can carry me. Lay down your hurt, lay down your offenses. Lay down anything that's just clouding your vision. And see him, see Jesus for who he is. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. The one that would die and has died in your place. And as a church, we want to draw so close to God. And the way we do that through humbling our heart. I kind of prefer that to that. No. Oh, no. Oh, no. And she's left-handed as well. Oh, no. Just joking. Just for anyone new here, I don't not like left-handed people. Okay, just for the record. Why don't we stand to our feet together? Why don't we just close our eyes? Thank you, Lord. All right, Father God, we thank you for your presence. If you're in this place, I just want to give an opportunity, as everyone has their eyes closed, that if you know that your heart is not close to God, and you know that your heart, and you've never given your heart to God, or maybe you have and you've wandered away, this morning I just want to give you an opportunity just to make your heart right with God by giving him your heart. His promises, he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you a new start and he will help you if we come before him with humility and ask for help. So this morning, if that's you in this place, you need to get your heart right with God. Today is the day. If that's you, would you put your hand up here and say, Benaiah, I just want to make sure my heart is right with God this morning. I want to make sure that my heart is right with him in Jesus' name. Make sure my heart is forgiven of my sin and close with him. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And this morning, Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I confess that you are Lord and Savior. Help me every day, Holy Spirit, to walk close with Jesus. Amen. Let's keep your eyes closed. I just think, let's just take a moment just to surrender. You can lift your hands as an act of surrender maybe, or you can kneel or you can stand, whatever you want to do. Oh, Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender our hearts to you. We surrender every part of us. You are the potter and we are the clay. Soften any parts of us that are hardened. Make us moldable again. Lord, come and just shape us into the people you've called us to be. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be close to you. Help us to be humble in heart. Help us to rely on you. Lord, we surrender all to you this morning. Every part, mind, soul, heart, body, every part of us, we give to you into your hands because you are worthy, Father. In Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you would like to know more about our church, please go to celebrationchurch.com.au.